It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back with Season 3, Episode 11 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. Football all over the place, conference contest heating up, getting ready to start the playoff run, Tony, not far from it.
No, and, we wait for football season. We're so, anticipating football season like it's Christmas, and now we're halfway through it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem possible.
Yeah, it doesn't take long, does it?
But no.
Before we talk about that, we're moving on to the number 55 as we move through the numbers and the significant players that wore those numbers.
Yep.
The big, big group of people here.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
There is. And, yeah. Again, a lot of linebackers, but some outliers, too.
Mm-hmm.
Dikembe Mutombo. I remember as a kid. Him, Akeem Olajuwon, people like that. Yeah. They were kind of the first really giants,
Yeah.
And I don't know. One of those guys probably leads the NBA in history in career blocks. Wouldn't you think?
Probably Mutombo.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know that, though.
I don't either.
If Jen was in here, she'd look it up for us, but she's not.
So, she's the only one of us who can use a phone.
Well, or a computer. Yeah. She's good on those computers. She's fast, too. But, I think that as you look through, I mean, I got a couple of favorites on here that are.
You and I have one in common.
Yeah.
Terrell Suggs. I don't like Terrell Suggs. He was a really good linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens. Junior Seau, Hall of Fame linebacker.
Yeah.
Oral Hershiser, a great pitcher. I think he has the record for consecutive scoreless innings, like at 55 or something ridiculous like that.
Looked like a professor.
He did.
And play, and his nickname was the Bulldog.
Yeah.
So you can imagine how he played. I mean, he was a great pitcher.
Joey Porter, great Steeler linebacker, and his son is now playing defensive back.
That's right.
For the Steelers, so a lot of legacy there. Thing I remember about Joey Porter is the Steelers won a tight playoff game with the Bengals one night, and the Bengals bingle it, of course. There's a scuffle on the field, and Porter's kind of goating Pac-Man Jones, and Pac-Man comes after Porter. He gets a flag. It moves the Steelers 15 yards closer. They kick a field goal and beat the Bengals in the playoffs. That was the famous the sight of the lady crying, the Bengal girl crying, was that game.
Oh, yeah. Well, surely they've cried more than that.
Oh, no doubt. Hopefully they cry on Thursday night.
Yeah, that's right.
Derek Brooks, great Tampa Bay Buccaneer linebacker. And then our favorite, Greg.
Yeah.
Marshall University, Jason Williams.
Unbelievable basketball player.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And was unbelievable in the NBA as well.
He was. He was that's tough to say.
One of the best ball handlers.
And passers that I've ever seen.
Yes.
He was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
As a passer. Of course.
Fortunately, I got to see him play in Huntington.
Yeah.
For a couple years there. And it was, it was unbelievable.
If I'm not mistaken, when he was making a lot of those passes, he was passing to Randy Moss. Mm. So that helped a little bit. But that may have been in high school. Right?
It was. It was at DuPont High School. Yeah. I've told this story a lot, but it's worth telling again. Jason Williams, Randy Moss, and a guy named Bobby Howard, who ends up playing middle linebacker at Notre Dame, all from a town, ran West Virginia about the size of Locksburg, were all there at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredible.
Yeah. Hmm. Yep.
Something in the water and ran.
Jason, great one. Did you mention Derek Brooks? You did, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. He's great. Well, a couple of really significant Razorback football players wore number 55. And one of them, I knew he was around there somewhere, but I didn't remember. Billy Ray Smith Jr.
Yeah.
In the late 70s, early 80s, great defensive end, linebacker, went on to play for the Chargers for many years. And then one of the guys that, if you've been around as long as I have with the Razorbacks, the guys that they always mention, this guy, part of the national championship team, those teams in the 60s, Lloyd Phillips. Mm. And just a great, great Razorback player. Enough about number 55, though, unless you got something else you want to talk about.
No, but it's been fun going through these 50s for the first time.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, and I think
56 will be a big number as well.
It will be a big number, but it's time to talk high school football.
Need reliable poultry equipment and service? Look no further than Hometown Poultry Supply in Nashville, right next to McDonald's. They carry the brands you trust. Plus, they offer 24/7 service and repair because they know your birds can't wait. Whether you're updating, retrofitting, or starting fresh, Hometown Poultry Supply has your back.
All right, time to talk about the Nashville Scrappers. Nashville went to Bauxite and beat the Miners 27-12. Tony?
The Pit is not an easy place to play. Bauxite's a pretty good football team. So that to me, that's an impressive win.
Yeah, and, we talked about this when we were previewing Bauxite and Nashville about how what they did with Arkadelphia. Kind of the same thing with Nashville. Nashville got up 21-0. Then Bauxite comes back, scores 12 points. Halftime, it's 21-12. Nashville holds them scoreless in the second half. Great defensive effort in the second half.
Keep in mind, Bauxite beat Magnolia.
Yeah.
Magnolia's a pretty good football team, too. As a matter of fact, Magnolia beat Nashville.
That's right.
So, it's kind of I beat you, you beat me, they beat them.
Yeah, that's right. But, I'm going to tell you, Nashville's got it going on.
They do, four in a row.
They lost their first two games. They won their last four games. And they're just playing really well.
Anybody knows Brad Cheshire, that's not a surprise.
No.
They're getting better as the year goes on.
Yep. I think, they host the Ashdown Panthers this week, and Ashdown's down a little bit,
yeah.
Numerically and otherwise. But I talked to Coach Cheshire a little bit about we talk about some things other than just the game sometimes off the air. But I was talking to him about and compared to what it was 15, 20 years ago, Nashville's numbers are down.
Yeah.
But, it's just hard to get people to play football now.
Well, it takes a lot of dedication and a lot of commitment, and there's just more to do. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's even more sports to do in these high schools.
Yeah.
But there's more to do in life in general. The thing is, I look at this game, and I think Nashville better be ready for Ashdown's best punch. They've saved their best punch. It's the sixth or seventh round. They've sparred a little bit. Ashdown's going to try to get a knockout blow in there.
Yeah. Well, that's for sure. Because this game, you can put rivalry in capital letters on it.
Absolutely.
And so Nashville, only had a couple of games at home so far.
Yep.
Now most of their games the rest of the year are going to be at home, which is, that kind of works in your favor, too.
It does. And they've already beat Arkadelphia, which kind of puts them in the catbird seat in the conference.
Yeah.
So it is a big game. If you drop this one, the beating Arkadelphia doesn't matter.
That's right. That's right. And with Malvern coming up.
That's right.
So they've still got to do that. But look for a big game and I think it's going to be an exciting game over on the hill. And let's see what Coach Brad Cheshire says about the game this week.
Okay, I've got Coach Brad Cheshire here today. Coach went up to the Bauxite and beat the Miners 27-12 Friday night. Anytime you can go to Bauxite and get a win, that's a good week.
That's right. It's always a tough place to play and a very tough place to win. But Bauxite has a good football team they're a team that is going to, possibly looks like they're going to be, competing with Malvern next week for a good seed. And then, us and Arkadelphia still have Malvern. So there's still, there's still a question mark on what happens within our conference. There's not a 1, 2, 3, or 4 seed yet. And then, you got Haskell that's kind of in there in the mix of things, but Bauxite has a really good football team with a lot of good players, and they played extremely hard Friday night, but I was proud of our kids and our team for handling that adversity well throughout the game that we did face and coming out with a victory.
Well, the game started off really well for you, I believe.
Yeah, it did. We got up 21-0 quickly. our first three drives of the game, we scored and got up 21-0 in the first quarter. And then after that, you know, we just kind of spit and sputtered a little bit and didn't, you know, we had some mistakes that we made, whether it was just turnovers or you know, we got down there in the red zone a couple times and couldn't put it in. And then, you know, we had some penalties that did back us up at times that killed us. And so, you know, went into halftime up 21-12, and got to give credit to Bauxite for how resilient their kids are. You know, it's the same scenario as 2 weeks ago when they were playing Arkadelphia. Arkadelphia got 21-0, and then they came back and tied it up, you know. So second half, we came out defensively, shut them out, played really good defensively. And then offensively, we continued to move the football. I mean, we moved the football really well Friday night. I mean, we finished with 460 total yards to Bauxite's 274. But we just, like I said, we just kind of spit and sputtered at the end and weren't able to put it in. That's something that we've got to do a better job of as coaches and players and find ways to score more points and capitalize off of those big drives.
Well, a lot of times you hear scores that are wide and you say that, well, that game was closer than what the score indicated. Sounds to me like this score – the game wasn't as close as the score indicated. You really dominated Bauxite pretty much the entire game. You just didn't finish drives, and that allowed the score to be what it was.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, not taking anything away from Bauxite, because Coach Perry does a good job with those guys. And like I said, they do have a good team that's going to make some noise in the playoffs, I think. It was kind of a back and forth game for a little bit, and then, you know, got to give credit to them on offense. I mean, they had a couple drives where they were moving it, and you know, they've got a quarterback that's a ninth grader that is a stud, and he's a kid that can run very, very well, and so that kid kind of hurt us on his feet a little bit, but overall, when you go back and look at the film, you know, we for the most part we played well.
Well, that's great. Well, moving on to before we move on, let's talk about just a few of the players you might want to mention that had really good games Friday night.
Well, Tucker Dixon, our running back, senior running back, carried the ball more times than any running back that I've ever had in a game. Carried it 36 times, which is crazy. But if we had another series, he's probably going to run it for 40 times. I mean, Tucker's just a hard-nosed football player that goes hard. Had 36 carries for 229 yards and two touchdowns. Quarterback Jacoby Hobson had 22 carries for 130 yards, also threw for 105 yards and threw had a touchdown pass. Defensively, Barry Williams had 9 tackles, 2 tackles for loss. A guy that continues to be solid and play well every single week. Lucas Ayitt, linebacker, 7 tackles with a pass breakup. Our defensive line continues to be a problem for people with Aiden Bradley, Makai Johnson, Braden Irby, Jadon Williamson, Jalen Staggers. They just continue to dominate the line of scrimmage. But one thing that I want to give a shout out to is our offensive line. And our offensive line continues to play well every single week, and they continue to improve every single week, you know. And we rushed for 355 yards Friday night. And, you know, that a lot of that has to do with our offensive line. And, you know, with Jameson McIntosh and Jay Schreit and Luke Lacey and Carson Kirby, Aiden Bradley, Deshaun Hawkins. I mean, those guys play extremely hard, play gritty, and do a good job in the run game, especially versus a Bauxite defense that creates a lot of movement up front with a lot of stunts and blitzes. And so gotta give a big shout out to our offensive line for what they do. You know, we talk about stats, and you don't ever talk about your offensive line much when it comes to stats, but when you rush for 355, you gotta give those big boys a lot of credit. And they continue to do a good job week in, week out.
Well, you're right about that. The only time you hear anything about the offensive line is when they get a penalty most of the time. But
I ain't no doubt.
But you can't have a rushing attack like y'all have without a great offensive line, and they're doing a great job. When you mention that, me people, it's a team victory, and they all are to some extent. But I mean, everybody played well. It looks like, and you know, obviously there are things you could do better, and I know y'all are working on those as every week goes along. But man, looks like y'all got it going your way right now.
That's one thing that I've been proud of, is just how well our team has gelled and come together, you know, throughout this season. I mean, early on in the season, we dealt with a ton of adversity, but our group, you know, continues to grow as a team and continues to play selfless football. And that's one thing that I've always preached to our dudes is, you know, I want low maintenance players that are highly competitive. And our kids have done a good job of buying into that philosophy. We really don't have a selfless team. We got a bunch of dudes that go out there and do their job and their, you know, their particular role, and they go out there and give the team everything they've got. I really feel like that's what's helped us get to this point.
Well, that's great. Now, and moving on to this next week, you kind of got I would call it a rivalry game. You might not call it a rivalry game, but it seems like there's a lot of bad blood between Asheville and Nashville. And so whenever y'all play there, you always got to be ready to go.
Yeah, this is a game for you know, many years, and history shows that when you look at the schedule and you see Ashdown versus Nashville, records really don't matter. It don't matter if one team's 6-0 and the other one's 0-6. This game always seems to come down to the wire. And Ashdown always plays us close. And it's kind of one of those that this is kind of a Super Bowl matchup at times, you know, and there's been many years when you look at records and we've been better and Ashdown sneaks up on us and comes out with a victory. And so we're going to have to be well prepared, have a great week of preparation and practice, continue to put emphasis on doing what we do, and not playing to the level of our opponent, continue to put our kids in good situations. But at the end of the day, we've got to continue. I feel like we've done a good job this year of getting better and doing what we do, and focusing on scrapper football and not necessarily our opponents and the way that they play. Obviously you got a game plan, you got to do some of those things, and, you know, you scheme here and there offensively and defensively, but we just got to continue to do what we do. Don't ever let a moment get too big, and go out and play extremely hard. But I fully anticipate a really good Ashdown team that comes out fired up, ready to play.
I'm sure they will, Coach. And I know that y'all are going to be ready to play too. Looking forward to a good game there down in Ashdown. Any significant injuries coming out of the box out game? Everybody pretty much okay?
Yeah, no, we're good. We're pretty healthy for the most part. And so, it'll be good to play Ashdown at home. We've been on the road for seems like all season. I mean, if you count, we've played 6 games plus the scrimmage. That would be 7 games. Out of our 7 games that we've played, we've only had 2 at home. And so we get the next – I mean, 3 of the next 4 games are at home, and it's good to be able to be home. To have Ashdown at our place is good. I've been involved in this game rivalry for many opportunities. When I was a player for 3 years, and then when I coached here last in the D.C. for 4 years. So, I've been involved in this game for 7 total years. And I'll say this, it's always harder to play at Ashdale. You know, it always seems like the home team plays well. So hopefully that stays true. And as we get to finally be back home again and be in front of our home crowd, and hopefully we can continue to defend the hill and grow as a team and come out with a victory.
Man, that sounds good. Looking forward to it, and looking forward to talking to you next week. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Whether you need a hardworking truck, a family SUV, or something built for adventure, York Gary Autoplex has you covered. With Chevrolet, GMC, Dodge, Ram, Jeep, and Chrysler all under one roof, you'll find the right fit for your lifestyle. For over 60 years, scrapper fans have counted on York Gary to go the extra mile, and they're still doing it today. York Gary Autoplex, your home for the ride that fits your life.
Mena Bearcats traveled to Waldron this week after a really, really tough loss to the Ozark Hillbillies.
Man, Ozark's got a good football team. I bet of the games we cover, this would have been one if you were just a football fan and didn't care who won. That would have been a good one to go to. Mena loses a heartbreaker to Ozark, 36-28 in two overtimes. You know, I talked to Coach Bentley a little bit about this, and you and I can talk about it a little about this. And, you know, the high school overtime rule's different from college, mm-hmm. different from the NFL. You know, you basically, it really favors the offense, yeah. I think, and it really favors getting the game over quickly. And I'm not totally against that, but, tough loss for the Bearcats.
Yeah, you know, I think that the overtime rules are, like you said, they're made to get the game over quicker.
Yes.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, I also see where, you know, if you had it like the college rules were, where it was 25 yards, you might be there all night.
Yeah, because teams don't have field goal kickers.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I understand why they do it, but still,
maybe the 15-yard line, you can get one first down.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
10 yards in four plays, that scenario definitely favors offense.
Yeah. Yep, it sure does. But anyway – so that puts Mena at 4-2 with two losses in the conference.
Yes.
So, you know, they're going to Waldron, and Waldron lost to Pottsville 46-12, which that was the other loss for the Mena Bearcats. But Waldron's 0-6, and be honest with you, don't look for much of a struggle there. I think Mena's going to have a pretty easy time with the Bulldogs.
Well, you know, that game is a rival game.
It is a rivalry
game. And much like the Ashdown-Nashville game, Mena will get Waldron's best punch. They've been saving up for 6 weeks, 7 weeks, fixing to play the Bearcats, and they will get Waldron's best punch. And it is at Waldron. So I know there's been a couple of games that Mena's come out on the right end of lately. But it's been a struggle for them to win at Waldron. Waldron's played really well against the Bearcats.
Well, let's see what Coach Bentley has to say about that.
Coach Bentley of the Mena Bearcats, and Coach Bearcats got in quite a tussle this week, went to double overtime and came out on the short end.
Yeah, just an instant classic, really. I mean, it was our homecoming, so we had a huge crowd there, and Ozark brought a good crowd. Man, just a great environment for high school football. I think one of the best environments I've definitely been a part of. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, someone had to lose that game. And so, we definitely left everything out on the field between coaches and players. And we weren't able to come away with the win, but we got a lot better from it. And I'm really proud of our team.
Well, let's talk about something you and I can't do anything about. The overtime rule in high school, different from college and pro. Do you like the overtime rule in high school?
I'm okay with it, I guess. I mean, I don't really have an opinion either way, you know, one way or the other. I think it's definitely geared towards the offensive mindset, and I'm an old defensive guy. So, but I guess that's kind of the point, right? So that way you try to, you know, hurry up, get the game over, and, you know, you're not there for an extra 2 or 3 hours or whatever, or you don't end up in a tie, you know, playing another quarter or something like that. It's better than a golden goal or whatever, that first person to score wins or something like that. But, it's hard to figure out what really works best for everybody in those situations.
Well, better than ties and penalty kicks as well.
Yeah, exactly right. 100% right. Or going one play at a time or something like that.
Yes, sir. Who had big games for the Bearcats Friday night?
Quarterback did a really good job. So Tripp Hensley really stepped up and then made a lot of big plays for us. He, you know, we asked him to do a lot on the ground, and he did. So he scored some rushing touchdowns for us, threw the ball pretty good for us, and made some plays at safety. But our offensive and defensive lines played really, really well, and they have the last couple of weeks, and we're finally back pretty healthy on those ends. And so really proud of our offensive and defense. I'm really proud of all our kids. We have, you know, a couple, you know, we had two, Jimmy Glenn and Hunter McClure. Those two guys have been some integral parts of what we're doing at linebacker. And Hunter plays running back, and man, they've been really, really banged up, and they were banged up through that game, but they just fought through and kept playing, and I'm really proud of them. I'm just thankful that we have kids that'll put it all on the line to go play a football game.
Well, you have a number of kids that play both ways, and it takes some heart and dedication, and you know, that doesn't hurt to do that.
Yeah. I mean, we're pretty senior heavy. I mean, we got 11 of them that's play a lot of football, but like we've said before, you know, defensively, yeah, we're pretty experienced. Offensively, we're not. So we're still, you know, we've kind of figured out kind of who we are and what we're doing on offense. But again, we got a lot of first year starters over there too. So it really came along though and made some big plays and kind of, you know, did what we needed to do at different times. Did a good job executing the game plan.
Well, the opponent this week is the Waldron Bulldogs, coach. And you're up there kind of in the same proximity. Is that kind of a rivalry with Waldron?
Yeah, it's definitely a rivalry. You know, I don't want to jinx anything or, you know, say anything, but it's, you know, kind of been a while since we've lost that game. And so that's something that's kind of always gets brought up around this time of year. And, but those have been some close games, you know, over the last several years. You know, a couple of years ago, we were down at halftime over them. And then in 2020, we had to, you know, throw a Hail Mary to beat them. And then it went on to win the conference. So, you know, kind of records go out the window type of thing. And, you know, both teams are going to be the best versions of themselves when that game starts.
Yes. Well, the thing for sure is you're going to get their best punch.
Now, 100%, yeah. We already talked about that, and they got to get ours, because if they don't get ours, then they're gonna, you know, they're I think coaches over there do a good job, and they run a good program, and like I said, we go there, so
right.
It's not a far trip, so it's one of those rare away trips for Mena where it's not far. You know, usually everywhere is at least an hour and a half to 2 hours for us, but
right.
You know, just being 30 minutes away is pretty nice too.
Well, Coach, as always, very gracious with your time, and hopefully we're talking about a Bearcat win next week. Get back on track.
Yeah, appreciate you. Thank you.
You take care. Go Bearcats.
Sir.
DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic here to assist you in meeting all of your veterinary needs in Southwest Arkansas. Think of them as your other family doctor. DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West in DeQueen. You can give them a call at 870-642-8387. That's Vets. To schedule your appointment today, and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown, you can call them at 870-898-5181. And join the rest of the community that believes in Martin Veterinary Services. Just look at their reviews. 5 stars across the board. You can trust no one better to take care of your furry one's needs, whether big or small. Routine checkups, spay and neutering, medications, and so much more. Place your trust in Martin Veterinary Services and you won't be disappointed. They're huge pillars of the community as well, sponsoring local sports, community events, and fundraisers, so much more. Southwest Arkansas thanks to Queen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Services for the excellent care they provide. Martin Veterinary Services, proud sponsor of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air.
We're going to talk about the Dirks Outlaws now. And before we talk about the Dirks Outlaws, you know what else we're going to talk about?
What?
We're going to talk about FN5GL.
Nailed
Friday
it.
Night 5G Lights.
Yeah.
Going for $1 million.
Uh-huh.
All you got to do, go to the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
You can find the link there.
Yep.
Vote.
Vote
with every email you have, and some you don't have.
Every day.
Vote vote with people's emails. That
just guess. Just guess
go
emails.
Go through your contacts list and vote with people's emails.
Yeah. We're not going to do that. LeBanion will be on us then.
Could you imagine trying to vote, and it's like, this email already voted for LeBanion today?
Yeah.
Like, oh, traitor.
Somebody will be getting a phone call.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. But don't forget. Vote.
Yeah,
we got we got this week and next week to go.
We're in the home stretch.
That's right.
Yeah, we can't quit now.
Don't quit now.
10 days.
But So now we'll talk about the Dierks Outlaws and the football game. Dierks lost one of their rivalry games to Murfreesboro. They lost 52-23. Dierks running through a tough stretch here.
Yeah, theirs is the meat of their schedule here. And, you know, another one of those games that was tight. A couple of things go against you. It just gets out of hand in a hurry, which seems to be a common theme in high school football right now. You know, you give up a big play here, the other team gets a break, and they take advantage of it, and then you're behind the eight ball. You have to be somebody different than you want to be. You know, you have to if you're a team that wants to move the ball in 4 or 5 yard increments, you got to become a team that moves the ball in 10 to 20 yard increments just to stay in the ball game. So. Kind of the eight ball the Outlaws got behind Friday night.
And you know, it doesn't get any easier this week.
It doesn't.
They get to drive to Louisiana to play.
Yeah, I hope you got your passports in order. The Junction City Dragons, 5-1, and a really, really good football team. You beat Gurdon 43-0, you're a really, really good football team.
Yeah, and what are they, second in state?
Yeah.
I believe they're ranked second in the state, and going to be a really good big test for the Outlaws, and they get to drive all the way down to Junction City to do that. Been there. We talked to Tuttle early this week. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it today, but he's having to take a day off from work to drive down there. It's that far.
Is there any good places to eat?
Well, El Dorado has good places to eat.
Okay, there you go.
He had to take a day off from taking a day off?
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't some work. Those, I don't know what he meant by that.
Jim Gardner's potato donuts. That's what El Dorado's famous for. They got donuts made from potato flour.
Yeah, that's really what I want.
I'm just telling you, it's a thing.
I understand.
They got a McDonald's there.
I don't know.
Yeah, they got a McDonald's. But, you know, you're going to go through Magnolia, too.
Yeah.
You know, so there's places.
Flying
place,
burger.
Yeah, there's always flying burger, man.
That's right.
There's always a flying burger. But anyway, long trip for them. Tough game against a very good football team. We just, you know, hope for the best for them. Again, don't forget to vote today and
Absolutely.
Every day till the 24th. Paul Ernest. Sir?
Multiple times.
Yeah. Every email, every day.
Yep.
Paul Ernest on the line.
Coach Paul Ernest and Coach Ernest, a lot of people go to Murfreesboro and find out that's a pretty tough place to play, and it sounds like that's what happened to the Outlaws Friday night.
Yeah, you know, we saw them on film. We knew they were a really good football team. We got out there, and, we had some things happen early that went our way, and then seemed like the table kind of turned. Weren't able to capitalize on it. Got a turnover early. Weren't able to capitalize on it. Got a 3-and-out on their first possession. Struggled a little bit recognizing their front. I thought Coach Buddy Ray on the other side did a great job scheming us up and made a couple adjustments at half. We're able to, start running the football. We're able to pick some things up, and we did most of our scoring there in the second half. But in the second half we got beat up. We came in with a couple guys that were injured, and we lost our quarterback and an outside linebacker, Peyton Beckman. Defensive back. Lost an inside linebacker who also plays outside receiver. Had another one that Mason Smith. I don't know how the kid's still playing, but he has no ligaments in his right knee, and all he did was mess up his left knee. So we sent our kids out there, and and I thought they played hard. I thought they did a great job on the other sideline of. Finding the mismatches, taking advantage of them. They did a great job coaching and preparing their kids through the week. And, we just took one on the chin pretty good, watching film and talking with our coaches. I mean, there was some stuff there, but overall, we just really kind of felt like they did a better job than we did, and they deserve that win.
Well, Coach, I love talking football with you. I know that a lot of people would see that score and say, it wasn't really a great ball game, but you rewind that tape and you talked about a couple of times that if something would have went your way or you took advantage of a break, it changes the whole route the ball game takes.
Oh yeah, no doubt about that. But that's football, and that's the coaching part. A lot of people think the coaching part is the X's and O's, but I mean, there's really no schemes out there that don't work, or they still wouldn't be alive and going. I mean, Harding University won a national championship with the flex bone and a day and age where everybody says you got to spread it out and throw it, and you know, there's no secrets. You know, kind of the coaching part is, you know, being able to stay calm when everybody else is falling apart, keeping your kids, you know, focused on, you know, their execution in the process and not on the outcome. I thought, you know, Coach Turley on the other side did a great job of that. They got some breaks from us, and they capitalized on them, and we didn't. So, you know, that's just kind of the way it goes. And, you know, the score, it looks bad. I think we closed it to within a score in the third, maybe, and then we had that rash of injuries happen, and they had a pretty good mismatch on the outside and threw a couple deep balls, threw a deep ball with to score 52 with, you know, under 4 minutes to go, up by almost 30. So, right. You know, that's just kind of the way it goes, and I don't blame them for that. I had an assistant coach who was not very happy that they threw the ball there, but, you know, with the clock not running in high school football, you got to get that clock running before you back off your game plan. So, you know, I'm sure they had a game plan to throw it deep, and their quarterback had a heck of a game. So kudos to them. They did a great job.
Well, Coach, I hope you have your passports in order, because you're making the trip to Junction City this week. I've never been there, but I've heard you have to go into Louisiana and back into Arkansas to get there.
Yeah, pretty much. It's it's a pretty good haul.
And yeah, they got a pretty good football team.
Oh, they got a really good football team. It's one of those things that you look at them on film, and I mean, they I don't know how they're playing on Friday night. They all look like they should be playing on Saturday and Sundays to me. They got two defensive ends that look like grown men. They've got I don't know what the kid has to weigh, 350, 360 on the inside. Plays also offensive line for them, and when they get in trouble on offense, all they do is bring in every big body they got and just run it right at you. So they're you know, they're huge, they can run, you know, they execute, and you know, they got some skill kids that are full of skill. You know, not that they're playing a skill position, they are skilled with the ball in their hands, and they're just dangerous.
Well, you know, Coach, last week you were able to bring some of your players to the radio station, and just thought, man, such good young men, well-spoken, and something to really be proud of.
Yeah, you know, kind of from a standpoint, I have a unique standpoint, I think, in that I had the privilege of coaching other programs that had the unfortunate privilege of playing the Outlaws. And, you know, you see them from the other sideline, and, you know, you want to kind of go, I don't like those guys because they're kicking your brains in. And, you know, then you meet them, and I mean, they're phenomenal kids. They've got great, you know, support at home. The kids that, you know, and we do have our share of kids that go through hard times like every community. And it's amazing to me how the community rallies around and picks those kids up. And, you know, that's a credit to the parents. That's a credit to their. I'll tell you the most amazing thing to me, and this probably will say about everything needs to be said about them, is I've been at six schools and been a part of homecomings and graduations and different ceremonies throughout my time. And this is the first place that I've ever been to that when they – when the kids are announced at the homecoming court, it's who they are, their mom and dad, and what church they attend. And that speaks volumes. Really cool. And the kids, it's important to them. And, you know, I think in this day and age, I think we are seeing a little bit of a, you know, a rebirth of that being okay. And, you know, the good thing is it's been okay in Derek's for a long time, and these kids are good kids who were raised with good morals and values, and it shows up in everything they do.
Well, you know, I hear as a minister all the time, you know, each generation's getting worse and young kids aren't what they used to be. And I just tell people, you don't know the right young people. You don't, because there are some great young people out there.
Yeah, there's some, I mean, I don't agree with that. I get statements all the time made about from coaches, particularly around my age or older, that, you know, I just don't know how much longer I can stay in it. The kids have changed. Well, I don't really think the kids have changed. I think what's changed is the community and support around them, and what's been accepted becomes the norm. And then, you know, everybody's always pushing the norm. So what we're looking at is you know, a gentle parenting philosophy that works perfectly fine with some kids, but if they're not gentle kids, it doesn't work as well. And, you know, and I think that what you're seeing is kids really haven't changed much. They want guidance. They want leadership. They want support. They want push. They want challenged. And in a day and age where a lot of people are afraid to do that, I think you're seeing the result of that more than you are seeing kids change.
I could not have said it better. Coach, one more thing. Vote, vote, vote. We're in the home stretch. We got to bring this home for the Outlaws. They can go to any Dirk's Outlaw booster, high school, any page. There'll be several places where you can see how to vote. You can go to my Facebook page, Tony Stowers. You can go to the Southwest Arkansas Sports page on the air. We're reposting every day. And, Coach, we got to bring this thing home.
Boy, we have put so much into this, our booster club, our kids, you know, our faculty. My wife, I think she spends, you know, most of her time right now, you know, T-Mobile Friday night 5G lighting. So, you know, I haven't looked at the numbers today coming out of the weekend, but, you know, they gained about 10,000 votes on us Thursday and Friday. So hopefully we were able to spread that out a little bit. So get out there and vote. If you're a visitor coming to the holler, what you might want to know is we are looking at our number one project is to put a new field surface down. That's a natural turf surface. And then our next project is providing a better bleacher atmosphere and better stadium atmosphere for our fans. So that includes our visitors. So get out there and vote www.FridayNight5GLights.com and vote for Derek's High School.
Coach, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and go Outlaws.
Go Outlaws.
Take care.
All right, Tony. Thank you very much for everything you do.
Thank you.
UA Cossetot is committed to improving the lives of those in our region by providing quality education, outstanding service, and relevant industry training. Visit cccua.edu today to find out everything you need about UA Cossetot, including how to apply and enroll, all of their programs of study, financial information like how to pay for college, and all of the scholarship opportunities for our community. You can even learn about their technical programs like automotive and diesel service technology and so much more. UA Cossetot has such a wide array of programs available to you, there's no reason to wait. This doesn't just apply to high school graduates either. If you're still in high school, visit cccua.edu and learn about UA Cossetot's high school programs. Sophomores, juniors, and seniors are able to take up to 15 credit hours for free per semester through the Access to Acceleration Scholarship Program. No extra paperwork is required by the student for this scholarship, as the high school programs department ensures their information is submitted to state institutions for reimbursement. Medical professions, industrial technology, welding technology, and so much more. Ready to start when you are. Visit cccua.edu today and see what UA Cossetot can offer you. UA Cossetot. If you start here, you can go anywhere.
Time to talk about the Cossetot River Eagles. While they have finished up their high school season, they still have a junior high game remaining as we speak.
And as we were recording this on Monday, that game is tonight. And one of the things I got to talk to Coach Dakota Barrett about today was how much improvement, you know, of course there was improvement from year one to year two, but there's been more improvement, I think, from year two to year three. Immense improvement in the Eagles and the junior Eagles. I mean, he's got kids wanting to square up and hit people, bring the pain, so to say. They're not so much sitting back and taking the punishment. They're delivering some punishment. And I'm going to tell you what, you can't help but like Dakota Barrett, and you can't help but be proud and be impressed with what he's done at Cossetot.
And I agree 100%. He was the perfect guy for that situation.
God put him in the right place.
Yeah, man. He's done a great job. And you know, as those players, you know, if you play football or if you played football, you got to realize that you're gonna get hit anyway. So you might as well hit somebody. And you know, right. But that takes a little bit of time, especially when you hadn't been around or seen it.
It does. It takes some time to realize that, hey, it's a lot more fun to deliver punishment than receive it.
Yeah, that's right.
But once that switch flips, it changes football players.
You're right.
Yep.
It sounds good to me.
Okay.
But you thought he said flip switched, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
Didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. He said it right.
Yeah, he did. I had to think about it for just a second, though. Yeah, because I thought he said yeah. flip switch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead yeah. of switch flip.
As soon as that yeah. switch flipped.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah.
So you're pretty sure I said it right?
You said it
correct. You're 100%.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I took a second to be like, yep. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. You did say Joe Blow, though. I had confirmation from listeners.
Yeah. Joel.
I heard it.
If you're out there. You're a heck of a linebacker.
Yeah, yeah, it sure is. But one of the things that I'm interested in, Tony, and we may talk to Coach Barrett about this, does he know what conference he's going to be in next year?
Boy, it's looking like they're going to be in that Mansfield conference of 3A. They petitioned to start in 2A. Of course, the AAA in their infinite wisdoms didn't think that was a good idea. They thought it was a good idea for a team just getting started, you know, teething to start in the same conference with Mansfield, so
yeah, that's
right into the fire.
Yeah, in Hackett and
yeah,
a lot of those teams. A lot of those,
it's a really good 3A conference.
It really is.
Yeah,
yeah, it really is. So I just wondered about that, but anyway, congratulations to them. I mean, just unbelievable where they've been and where they are now, and. Coach Dakota Barrett was kind enough to call in and talk to us, and let's see what he has to say.
I'm with Coach Dakota Barrett of the Causatot River Eagles, and Coach, you guys put a cap on it tonight.
Yeah, I tell you what, we go down to Horatio. We wrap up football season tonight. Going to play at 7 o'clock down there, Tuesday night ball game, a little bit different than the normal week, and that's kind of been our what we've talked about all year long is not being in a normal week. Not playing on Thursdays and not playing on Fridays, and it's hard to get in a routine. But we're going out tonight. We've played Horatio once. We've won it early in the year. We'd like to go we talked about last week, you know, defensively, we want to see have we grown. And we've worked on it all week long, and we feel like we're prepared and ready to rock and roll and take our junior high down there and see what we can get done.
Well, this is your third year. And I remember asking you at the end of last year, how far do you think you had come from year one to year two? Now I'm going to ask you the same question about year two to year three.
Much bigger leap from year two to year three.
I think you're exactly right about that.
Man, I've talked a lot about that first year, about our kids not being aggressive, our kids not attacking the football and taking good angles. And though we still struggle with some of that, for the most part, I got 11 guys going to the football. I've got linemen understanding the need to fire off. We're not mishandling snaps. You got a quarterback that understands where we're trying to go with it and the intentions of the fakes. And of course we run split backs and how important that is. And I'm talking about from junior high to senior high all the way across the board.
Right.
The physicality that Chris Carterby brought us in senior high football. Those things we just lacked so much last year. And man, what a leap from last year to this year. We're getting better. Not only are we getting better, communities rallying behind us, that they're hungry for real Friday night games here at Causatot River. And I say that as they lay new sod on our new field right now as we speak, and
that's got to
be ready for that next year.
Yeah, that's got to be exciting. That's got to get your blood pumping.
I tell you, man, there ain't gonna be nothing like it, and this place has never seen anything like it. They might have went to a ball game, they might have went and seen the atmosphere, but to go be part of it, to be a part of that atmosphere, and you, now you're invested in it, and it's not only your money, but it's your kid playing, and you know what it's like. They roll out the red carpet for these kids on Friday nights, and we're gonna get to be a part of that. We're gonna get to be a part of some really good atmospheres, and probably Charleston and Mansfield next year. And though those are tough teams, that's something every kid should get to play under those lights. And man, we're excited for it. We're kind of sad that it's coming to an end tonight. We've put a lot into it this year, and but we got some we got to reap some of it this year too.
Well, you know, I was wondering about that. You know, Causatot, because they had not had football for so long, they start basketball a good bit earlier. I remember times that they played the Queen, and it would be the Queen's first or second game, and Causatot would have already had six or seven games under their belt. Will it adjust the basketball schedule as well?
we had to this year. We're still starting earlier than most football schools. Of course, we've added volleyball here as well. It looks like our volleyball team is going to be a 2 seed going into regionals.
That's great.
So some of our basketball starts will depend on that. As of right now, we play on Halloween night. That'll be our first game. Normally, we've already been playing for a month. Next year, of course, we won't start until that first date. I want to say it's like the week of the 14th of November.
Right.
And hopefully we're still playing football then. You know, we've got sights on making playoffs, and it's not going to be easy. It's something we're going to have to put our head down and go to work on. But being the basketball coach, I can say this. I wish for nothing more than us to have to start basketball around December each year.
That means the football is really rolling when that happens.
That means we got something going. And, man, basketball, we've started senior high basketball last week and practicing, and we got after it last night. And I got a bunch of dudes that hadn't seen the floor a lot. We graduated a bunch of seniors last year. And these guys are hungry for it, and that's fun to coach as well. But, you know, it's hard to be basketball and football mindset at the same time. We're geared up for tonight. We're going to close the chapter on football before we really get going in basketball.
Well, Coach, you've always been generous with your time, and we'll talk next week and hopefully talking about a really good game at Horatio that's going to be played tonight.
You bet. And, man, we are praying and looking out for all the teams in our surrounding area and everybody that y'all cover. And I hope they make deep runs in playoffs and get the opportunity to be there. And, man, I am not an outlaw, so don't hold me to this. But I do hope everybody goes and votes for them. And,
absolutely.
See if we can get them a new field going down there. Coach Ernest and their whole staff over there has been pretty good to me. Coach Collum in basketball, that is my brother-in-law, and I want them to get a new football field and then go beat them in basketball. Nothing to tickle anymore.
Well, and I would encourage everybody to do the same. We're trying to encourage it on our Facebook page. Coach, you have a great day.
Y'all too.
Take care. Bye.
At Pilgrims, our vision guides everything we do to be the best and most respected company in our industry, creating the opportunity of a better future for our team members. From education and recreation to healthcare and social services, Pilgrims invests in meaningful community projects that have lasting benefits for our team members and our neighbors. We have provided meaningful investments in projects that will have a lasting impact for generations to come. We are also building the largest free college tuition program in rural America, Better Futures. Pilgrims is providing team members and their child dependents the opportunity to pursue their higher education dreams for associate degrees and trade certificates at community and technical colleges tuition-free. Opportunity awaits. Join our talent community today and visit jobs.pilgrims.com.
All right, it's time for my favorite segment of the program, and that is the award show, where we get to hand out all these awesome awards to these awesome players.
Yeah, and we got a lot of them to do, and then we're going to start off with the Shelter Insurance Jeff Woods Agency Leopard Player of the Week, and that's going to be
Jake Martin, 8 of 16, 101 yards, a touchdown. Had also had a passing touchdown called back in the loss to Hot Springs.
You making fun of me, Greg?
No.
It's going to be.
Yeah. And the Domtar Panther Player of the Week is?
Jodo Angel, 4 catches, 77 yards for the Panthers.
Horatio State Bank Lion Player of the Week.
Isaiah Callahan had 4 carries for 36 yards, 3 catches for 71 yards, and a touchdown.
Horatio State Bank Gator Player of the Week.
Victron Moore, 7 tackles for the Gators.
The Loveless Refrigeration Scrapper Player of the Week.
Lucas Ayatt, 7 tackles for the Scrappers.
All right, and the Shelter Insurance Todd Mord Agency Outlaw Player of the Week.
Drake Thatcher had 160 total yards and a couple touchdowns, plus a kickoff return for 66 yards for the Outlaws this week.
And then we're moving on to the Union Bank of MENA Bearcat Player of the Week.
We're going to acknowledge both lines, the offensive line and defensive line, had good weeks this week.
Union Bank of MENA Eagle Player of the Week.
Going to go with the whole Junior Eagle football team playing their last game today.
Okay, now we're going to move on to the area awards, and the first one is the Toad Thumper Lure Offensive Player of the Area.
With Earl Campbell type numbers 40 years ago, Tucker Dixon goes 36 carries, 229 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Great effort by him.
Absolutely.
Horatio State Bank Defensive Player of the Area.
Going to go with TFL Kyle Williamson, 7 tackles and 2 tackles for loss against the Hot Springs Trojans.
And the Mud Creek Designs Player of the Area and the winner of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air t-shirt will be this week.
It's going to be Horatio Lions' Marvin Martinez, 18 carries, 127 yards. He was also the Lions' leading tackler this week.
There you go. We got one more thing to do. We got a game of the week this week, and that's sponsored by DeQueen Motorsports.
We're going to go Ashdown at Nashville in a rivalry game.
Yeah, that's going to be a great game. Can't wait to see that. And thank you to DeQueen Motorsports for sponsoring the game of the week. We appreciate all our sponsors for all these awards each and every week.
I think that wraps up all of the high school sports for this episode, but it's time to talk about some stuff that's a little bit more national, and this talk is brought to you by Mina Pre-Owned at 3001 Highway 71 in Mina. Give them a call at 870-848-0796 or hit up www.driveapo.com.
And Tony, Razorbacks come out and play a little bit better this week.
They played a lot better this week. They showed some fight, and you know, which got me to wondering. You know, I'm always looking into the future. Let's say they play better all season, but they still don't win another game, and that's very possible.
Yeah.
Where does that put Bobby Petrino in the grand scheme of things?
You know, something that happened this weekend might have changed some of that.
Well,
I mean, when you look at, you know, I think James Franklin at Penn State got fired Sunday.
Right.
I think a viable candidate for the Arkansas job.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah. And I think that Arkansas will be lucky to get him.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, and it's kind of died down a little bit. People putting forth these, you know, sensational names, you know, Dion and Gruden and people like that. And I've got on here on our notes, Arkansas needs to find, if they're not going to hire a James Franklin, find the next Kurt Cignetti. You know, here's the deal. Indiana hires Kurt Cignetti from JMU. I knew he was a good football coach because I follow the Sun Belt. Mm-hmm. But it didn't move the needle as far as national. Now everybody wants Kurt Cignetti. And maybe that what Arkansas needs to do is try to find the next Kurt Cignetti instead of trying to hire a big name.
They won't do that.
Okay.
You know, and let me tell you
Never mind.
Let me tell you why.
What?
Chad Morris. That's why. Because for every Kurt Cignetti, there's 100 Chad Morrises.
Yeah.
You know, I just think you got to blow some skirts up a little bit with the hire.
Right.
I mean, everybody thought Chad Morris was a great coach, and I think he's got a lot of, you know, he does okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, he just got totally overwhelmed, I think.
Well, but I would counter with Brett Bielema. You hire mm-hmm. a really good coach away from a big program, and mm-hmm. you know, I thought Bielema was a pretty good football coach, but apparently not good enough because he was fired before he got off the field his final game.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that maybe.
Belichick.
Notre Dame. I mean, North Carolina is trying to get rid of him.
Yeah,
so maybe maybe we could pick him up. But you know, I'm with you. I agree. I mean, there's two problems I have, and I'm not sure that Arkansas is as an attractive job as we would like to think it is.
Right.
And so what that means is some of these up and comers, they're going to be looking at jobs where they can be successful.
Right.
And successful is not 6-6.
No.
And, you know, and so, you know, if you take the Memphis coach, the Texas San Antonio coach, you know, you may be better off going, I mean, UCLA's open.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, UCLA, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Or Penn State. I mean, Penn State's a much better job than Arkansas.
Right.
I would say.
Yeah.
For me, based on, you know, other than you being in the SEC, I don't know that I wouldn't really – I think you got a better shot at winning at UCLA.
You do, but, I mean, it's almost like their fan base has abandoned them. They when they beat Penn State.
Yeah.
And they rushed the field. It was like, the crowd at a Leopard game.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
I'm still not convinced that Hunter Yurecek's going to get to make the hire.
I don't think he will.
Yeah.
He got the kiss of death of support from the board of directors.
That's right.
So, yeah. When they come out and publicly support you after you screw up something,
you're done. You're finished.
Yeah, because they don't need to say anything.
No.
The best thing for them not to say
it's
anything.
It's like the mafia putting a hit on you.
That's right. But you know, the thing about it is, I think, you know, I'm going to tell you, I've said this and I'll keep saying it. More important than who we hire is where are we going to raise the money to make us competitive.
Right. That's right.
Time to go, guys, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. And before we go, we just want to thank all our sponsors. We couldn't do it without you. We appreciate them. And, you know, we hadn't talked about this recently, but thanks to our title sponsor, Pilgrims.
That's right.
Just want to make sure we mention them. And, mm-hmm. and I know they'll get a mention, but, man, being our title sponsor is a big deal for us. It helps mm-hmm. us, enables us to do things. But we appreciate all our sponsors and all they do for us.
We couldn't have asked for a better one, man.
That's exactly
Pilgrims.
That's exactly right. And so we also appreciate all the coaches, all the people that get with us, the play-by-play guys, because we couldn't do it without you guys. We appreciate y'all, too. And most of all, thanks to the kids. That's who we're doing it for. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.